They are not ready for prime time.
Prime time.
Prime time.
Prime time. That's the name.
Prime time.
Prime time.
What time is it? Showtime prime time.
It's XL Prime Time, featuring Joe C.
I reduced my toilet paper down to 3 squares.
Matt Hayes.
Big asses and big thighs, yeah.
And Leon Searcy.
Bringing you love, peace, and soul.
How you like me now? How you like me now?
XL Primetime, ready to crank it out? Beaver Chevy, Beaver Toyota Tuesday. And we got our head coach, Coach Campo, hanging out with us. We just finished up Campo and Joe. This is kind of the multimedia XL Primetime day because we go from our podcast right into the show. Coach, welcome in. You ready to rock and roll?
I'm always ready, that's for sure. Yeah. And today, even more, because we got rookie minicamp coming up, and we're ready to start rolling around here.
It's so funny because, you know, we go into our pre-show after doing the Campo and Joe podcast. Big Sirs, Matty, all of us ready to rock and roll. And this is the first time as a quattro XL Primetime that we all get to react to the draft. Now, we reacted to it yesterday, Leon. Maybe some of it was a little lukewarm reaction. Some of it was maybe enthusiasm.
Say, go ahead.
Yeah.
I don't care. It doesn't bother me. Somebody's got to bring reality to it, man.
Yeah, listen, that's your reality. It ain't everybody's reality. I'll tell you
we'll
that.
See what Dave's reality
is. Yeah, right now.
Uh-oh.
Exactly. We all live in a different world that we think everyone else lives in, and it isn't necessarily true.
You're not going to offend me. You can take shots at me all you want. I
believe it. I know he loves it. He embraces it. He relishes it. He invites it. But, Coach, I'm going to see whether or not you agree with some of the stuff that he had to say about the draft yesterday. We did have a quick conversation about Mason Smith on the Campo and Joe podcast, and also a guy that I think most people would identify, Leon, as maybe the biggest question mark. Him and Jarian Jones, second-round defensive tackle, third-round cornerback, when there were others that were out there. And I think those are probably the two big question marks.
Yeah, listen, anytime you take a guy, the top 50 pick, Mason Smith, that you by LSU, my concerns is that he was on a team that gave up a whole bunch of yards. Now, don't get me wrong, I enjoyed watching LSU offensively, but defensively it was a travesty. Couldn't stop the run, couldn't get after the pass, and couldn't defend the pass. So you bring somebody like that. You bring two, not one. You bring two guys from an LSU front four that gave up enormous amount of yards rushing and passing the football. So that was my only concern. Now, if you study the tape individually and you like what you saw individually by Mason Smith, then so be it. You know, you like what you saw individually, but I know collectively as a team, LSU, they were terrible.
I love the travesty word, by the way.
Yeah, I just want to
throw this scenario out to Coach, okay? You are a 9-8 team. You are not the same 9-8 team from the previous year. Completely different team, okay? We'll all agree with that. You have two picks in the top 50. Both of those picks need to start. Need to be guys that play right away and are impact players. You have the 48th of 50 picks, and you take a guy that is coming off an ACL injury 16 months earlier. His season after the ACL injury, he did not play that well. Granted, as a freshman, he was a beast before the injury, an absolute beast. Potential top 5 pick, okay? All I'm saying is if you have a top 50 pick, you need a guy that's going to guarantee going to be a guy that day one is going to make an impact for you, and I'm not sure he's that guy.
Well, first of all, I agree with you from the standpoint that obviously you want to make the right pick. Mm-hmm. In that situation there, they had an awful lot of information on this kid. First of all, Ed Ogeron, I talked to Ed right after the draft, and Ed said if this guy's 100%, he's a top 5 pick.
Right.
Exactly what you
totally
just said.
Agree. Yep. Mm-hmm.
He said that the problem is that he's had 6 defensive line coaches during his time there at LSU. They
Leon. Mm-hmm. 6 different defensive
lines. That's
a
lot. That's a lot.
One of which was in there and only lasted 2 weeks because he had a medical situation.
Oh, right. One of them had a better job, I think.
Yeah, no, it's medical on one of them. But the other thing is that Nielsen's, one of his mentor, when I say mentor, you used the right term. I used the wrong term when I said it. But his one of his influences as a coach was Ed Ogeron. Okay, so he has that information, right? Mm-hmm. House, the defensive line coordinator, who's now the linebacker coach here at Jacksonville, when I left the Cowboys, and I bring it up this way, when I left the Cowboys and went to the University of Kansas as a defensive coordinator, that was the worst year that I've ever spent in my entire life, because the league was so different in the Big 12 than it was in the NFL. So House goes down from the Kansas City Chiefs, goes down there, and the team is terrible. And I can kind of see that, because I went through the same thing, basically. The third thing is that Pete Jenkins, they called in Pete Jenkins this year. And Pete Jenkins is as good as any defensive line coach that I've ever been around in NFL, college, whatever you want to say. So whatever Pete Jenkins said to Ryan Nielsen, to the scouts, to whatever, is what they think of this kid. Now, I watched the kid a little bit. He is an outstanding athlete, but I still look at him, and I'm with Matt on this, it's a boom or a bust. If this kid's attitude is right, he's got everything. He's another year away from the injury, and now it's, does he have what it takes to win, to be as good as he can be?
You were pointing to your heart when you said that. You were pointing to your heart. I was just letting everybody know that.
I'm just saying that, he didn't get
intestinal fortitude.
Yeah, they didn't get what they thought they were going to get out of the guy for six coaches. Mm-hmm. And the injury and whatever happened that didn't allow him to get to the top.
Yeah, and I think the best example I can come up with is Leonard Fournette. Was a guy that was a top five pick. He was fourth overall, comes out of Baton Rouge, and apparently there wasn't enough good homework done on him because he had taken practices off, had other people doing work, didn't do what he was supposed to do, took a lot of things for granted, and ended up not having the intestinal, however you want to describe it. And he was a pretty damn good player the first year. And then we all know, he went off the tracks after that, had a bad hammy, had to take a year off, go to Wyoming, reinvent himself, and then he gets released, doesn't get a second contract from this football team. And so I don't want to put Mason Smith in that camp until I know. I just don't want to do that.
So
I'm just going to find out.
Yeah, I want to make that very clear. Yeah. I'm not putting him in that camp at all. I'm putting him in the camp of injury. To me, it has nothing to do with whether he has the want to or not. It's the injury. It's you have a top 50 pick, and you're taking a boom or bust guy. Mm-hmm. When you need guys to help you right now.
Yeah, because you were looking for an instant starter, or just to have water guy.
Well, to be quite honest with you, this has much to do with Eric Armstead than anything else as a veteran. As a veteran, you recognize talent, especially young talent. And most veterans, when they know that they got a kid that has the potential, they take them underneath their wing. Right. They say, you know what? I'm going to groom this guy. I mean, that's how I got groomed. I'm going to take him underneath my wing. I'm going to teach him how to be a professional. I won't allow him to be a bust.
Okay.
I don't know the makeup of Eric Armstead, but I know he's been in this league at least. I know he's been in this league like at least 10 years. Mm-hmm. Kind of like what Calais did with Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Calais say, "Listen, this kid got potential. You know what? Mm-hmm. I'm going to groom him. I'm going to take him underneath my wings. I'm going to make sure he has success."
Yeah.
I hope we have that kind of leadership in our locker room with Eric Armstead. If he sees this kid, he's going to watch him on the field. He's going to watch his demeanor, his mannerisms. Mm-hmm. Does he come in late? Does he come on time? Does he go home early? Does he stay home late? All those things are going to factor in, because I tell you, how you do little things, how you do everything. I can tell you how successful you'll be by what your routine is daily.
Right.
I can tell you. So I'll be very interested to see if Armstead, and if this guy's teetering, going boom or bust, mm-hmm. I mean, it's up to that guy or Eric Armstead to make sure this kid succeeds more than the kid himself.
Yeah, I have optimism because of there are enough people between our staff here with the Jaguars and what he had at LSU to where I don't know how they could make that pick unless they thought it was a chance of being special. And and the kid athletically is special.
Mm-hmm. And I think the one thing that you're hoping for is the change in leadership. And this is where I always lean on Coach when I simply say, you don't just draft a guy and put on a uniform on him and expect him to develop. Right. You have to develop him.
Correct.
And what you say, Leon, I think is 100% that there are people in that room that care about you and want to help you get to your full potential. And then you have – this is what I always try and figure out the recipe It's the drive and desire within, right? Mm-hmm. The individual. What is he willing to do? And then what are the coaches capable of making that player in terms of becoming a star?
Yeah, I mean, listen, the veterans are as much as responsible for this kid's success than he is. Because if you know, if you see that he has the potential, then it is it's incumbent upon you to make sure this kid is doing the right things. Mm-hmm. On the field, off the field, watching film, in the study room, getting treatment, all that kind of stuff. Teach him how to be a professional. I mean, that's what I did. I mean, especially, listen, I never worry about guys who came into Jaguars drafting under me because you had to be a stud first of all to take my job. All right, you did. I'm just saying because
I'm gonna
do everything I need to do. I'm gonna do everything I need to do to make sure I stay on top.
Yeah.
All right. So if you're willing to do that, then so be it. So what I'm saying is that I used to just take when I saw a guy like a Cheevers or I saw a guy like a Wade, like those offensive linemen.
Mm-hmm.
It was on me and Bo to make sure those kids had success.
Right.
Teach them how to be professionals and go about their business of winning football games.
Yeah, and honestly, it's attitude and aptitude. I always like to put them together because you got to have the want to, willingness. You got to learn. You got to know exactly what you're supposed to be doing to be a better player. All right, so as we go along today, Beaver Chevy, Beaver Toyota bringing you today's show. You can definitely check them out on the lot. They are ready to serve. You got great people. Linda says it all the time. They are there to wow you, and they will take care of you. They're on Phillips Highway with Beaver Chevrolet with that strong lineup of SUVs, pickups, beautiful economy, and luxury sedans. You can find them online at beaverchevrolet.com. And then the same rings true in St. Augustine, Beaver Toyota, staugustine.com, right there in the AUG on US 1 with killer rides, that's for sure. So when we get Coach's first take on the overall draft, because we all have done this, but just chime in on what you thought from the Thursday night move that Trent Baalke made and then take it the rest of the way.
Well, first of all, I think that was a great move. I think, you know, once I had a pretty good feeling that's what was going to happen because when those quarterbacks hit, I felt like you were going to have about five guys that you would have said, if they take this guy, I'll feel pretty good about it at 17. And when you have that situation, unless you just are going to go on need, if you've got them pretty close together, then and you feel like you're going to get one of those guys, then go ahead and back up. We never did it enough in Dallas with after Jimmy left.
Mm-hmm.
Get as many draft picks as you can. You got a better chance of hitting. And so that's – I can understand. I think it was a great move, especially if that's the guy they were going to take. Now, I would have liked to have seen them take the offensive lineman that was there, Fatano.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just my opinion. And their opinion is I'm going to take whichever one. I like this receiver. He's going to make a difference and then go from there.
Now, Coach, let me ask you a question. So the Indianapolis Colts were just above us at 16, right? Their needs was corner, wide receiver, and safety. But they take the best of – Latu was there. Mm-hmm. And they didn't need him, but they said, well, if he fell in our spot, we got to take him. So when I saw the Jaguars at 17, I'm like, okay, what are our needs? O-line, wide receiver, corner. But if Dallas Turner's sitting right there, you're like, we don't need him, but he's an impact player.
But they do need him. That's the whole thing.
I'm saying, according to the board said our needs were O-line, wide receiver, corner. Mm-hmm. All right, but Dallas Turner, because I saw the Colts, their need was corner, safety, wide receiver. But LL was available, right?
Yeah.
So they took him anyway, despite what the board said their needs were. I mean, I just thought the Jaguars in some position, could have done the same thing.
Yeah, and that's possible.
And by the way, would we all put edge over receiver in terms of importance on a football 100% team?
100% on this roster, yes.
Yeah.
Well, I'm thinking roster. On any team.
Yeah.
Right?
Not only that, I look at that also, Dave, and obviously we want to get your thoughts in as well, is you had Josh Allen and Trayvon Walker combined for 27.5 sacks. That's not happening again, more than likely. More than likely. That's a big, big number, 27.5 sacks. And the rest of your D-line? 5.5 sacks.
Right. They added up to less than a half dozen.
You need help off the edge.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt about it. And Leon was talking about turning over tables and stuff over in the draft headquarters.
I couldn't find one to flip.
Anyway.
I was looking. I couldn't.
And you like me, are affect the quarterback, protect the quarterback.
Yeah.
Would you have been tempted there at 17 to just go, I got to get this pass rusher?
Yeah. I, I, to be honest with you, I would have taken a big guy. Right. That's my opinion. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're looking at things, and I think what Leon said is correct. You know, there's a fine line between taking the best available player mm-hmm. and taking somebody you need. Mm. You know, it's if Dallas Turner was standing around, I probably would have taken him or the offensive lineman. Mm-hmm. But I think that the move he made, though, is he got somebody, whether or not they wanted him at 17 or whatever is immaterial. Right. They had four or five guys that they felt they could win with, and it was, in my opinion, was a good pick. Mm-hmm. The rest of the draft, in my opinion, I'm sure we'll talk about individuals, mm-hmm. but the rest of the draft, in my opinion, is upside. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's good, sometimes it's bad, you know, because I think to a lot of those guys you could say, well, that was a little bit of a reach. That was a little bit of a reach based on media.
Mm. Yeah,
that's it. Mm. But I mean, how you look at them is completely different than the media does many times.
Right, because I put, fair, yeah. I look at that tape of what I see from Jarian Jones. I look at that tape and what I see from DeAndre Prince in an Ole Miss uniform, and I see guys that attack, that are quick, that are good tacklers, that have good ball instincts. And I don't know whether he was drafted too high. It appears that most people think he was. And I take a look at some of these cornerback selections that were made, and this is the thing that I think everyone will battle. It's like if you had gone one position in one, you know, in one round, it would make you think of another position in the next round. But if you take a look, Quinyon and Tarian, those are the two cornerbacks that were talked about the most. They went front and back yep. of when Brian Thomas Jr. was selected. Quinyon Mitchell went right before, Tarian Arnold went right after. Then Nate Wiggins went 30th overall. I don't think too many people were sky high on him. He's in the first round, but this team didn't appear to be locking in on him. Cooper DeJean goes 40th. Kool-Aid goes 41st. Kamari Lassiter goes 42nd. Max Melton goes 43rd. Well, you're saying, holy smokes. Yeah. That's four corners that went off the board, and this team's just kind of sitting there at 48 going, what the H is going on, right? And you don't know exactly what you should do. Well, then it stops after Max Melton, and then after that run of cornerbacks, and the Jaguars select 48th, and they select Mason Smith, that still leaves Ennis Rakestraw, it still leaves Andrew Phillips, and then they go get Jarian Jones. So you can second-guess it if you want.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of which guy you think – because I loved Ennis Rakestraw.
It's a philosophical yeah. argument is what
right.
it is.
Right.
I look at this and I see you take Quinyon Mitchell at 17, then you come back at 48 and you take A.D. Mitchell. Mm-hmm. And if those are your two picks, the people in this city will be in heaven. Mm-hmm. And yeah. there's no arguing or debating or anything.
Right.
Those two picks are two really good picks. Two guys that can play for you right away, first snap of the first game of the season.
Yeah, and meanwhile, I did get a kick out of, was it Adonai that went to Indy that Chris Ballard was standing up for? He was the guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so he went right around the same time we're talking about, and he went on his expletive-filled yeah. rant, and in translation, he's saying, I am happy that he got all this bad stuff floating out in social media so he would fall down the draft board and I'd be able to scoop him up and pick him. That's basically what he was saying.
Yeah.
And so we will find out whether or not that was a good selection. You've talked about Mike Pittman up there in Indianapolis, Coach. He is a very productive receiver. He's not cat quick, but he is very, very productive. Then they add the speed in Mitchell to that roster. Yep. This team better have an answer for it.
And I thought that was one of the things when you look at a guy like Thomas with that pick. Mm-hmm. You know, I did a lot this week with Aaron Beasley on some shows mm-hmm. and stuff. And I think everybody knows Aaron Beasley, mm-hmm. but he's one of the best DBs in Jaguar history for sure. And I said, well, what do you think about 4.3 speed? He goes, I'd be scared to death. Mm-hmm. You know, and so, I mean, there is, you know, the thing I liked about that pick going back is not only has this guy got speed, he's going to have to do a few more routes, but he can stop on a dime and come back and get the football and go up and get it. And so, you know, you add 3-4-3 to that. But all those things are in the eyes of the beholder. And I think I wouldn't have been a bit surprised if they didn't try to come back up in the third round to get Rakestraw, one of those guys, as opposed to the kid they took.
Yeah.
The kid they took, though, is kind of in Nielsen's mold.
He looks
physical,
good.
Tough.
an attack.
Good tackle.
Allegedly, they tried to go back up again.
Oh, they did.
Yeah. Right.
Well,
and
then that's
apparently
what
no
saying.
One will trade with them.
Yeah,
because
and that's
it looks
what
like
happens.
Jags are the only team no one trades with.
I know. They don't seem to be able to move up. They can move back, but they can't move up. I don't know why. And everybody says it's not based on Ryan Nielsen. So I don't know.
It's Trent Taalke here.
Not Ryan Nielsen. Not Balky, I'm talking about.
It's Trent Taalke. Hello? what? Hello? So I don't know whether that's how it goes or not. I'm not even sure. All right. We're going to keep it rocking and rolling here. You guys hit the text line. If you are sitting in your office, if you're at home, you can log on YouTube. Just search 1010XL. Throw a comment our way. We're streaming live. You guys can definitely interact with us there. Definitely hit the MyBookie Digital Studios or hit the text line. Designed by Lifetime Enclosures at 641-1010. We would love for you to jump in. You can do it on social. We'll set up our question coming up. It is a Beaver Chevy, Beaver Toyota Tuesday. Coach Campo hanging out with us for the first hour.
XL Primetime's Coach Dave Campo is brought to you by Bold City Heating and Air. Online at boldcityac.com. Cruising with XL Primetime in the First Coast Honda Dealer Studios on 1010XL. This is XL Primetime, brought to you by Florida Home AC. Now that's cool on 1010XL.
Beautiful Tuesday. Beaver Chevy, Beaver Toyota, they bring you today's show. We say thanks to all of y'all for hanging out with us, all of Duval. Anywhere you find us, be it on the stream, be it over the air, the apps, whatever, we totally appreciate it. Joe C., along with Matty Hayes, Big Leon Searcy, RJ cranking it, and we got our head coach, Dave Campo, hanging out with us for this first hour. And we're going to stay on the draft, and we got to get back to it. But, you know, we got all these opinions on what this team's going to be able to do and the direction they're heading in. But I can't take my eyes off of those donuts that Big Searce has brought in. And if you
check awake 180 approved?
If you check us out on YouTube, you can see.
No. Yeah, Searcy approved.
Yeah, you better believe it.
Little Debbie's, baby.
Yeah. And so so what made you grab them, honestly? What made you? Because I like it. Like your snack selection, we never approved. Know what's coming.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I had my eye on him. I couldn't take him off. You know, it was like a pretty girl walking by. You know what I'm saying? I saw it. I kept looking. I grabbed it. So.
And the beautiful thing about what Big does is that he'll always bring enough for others.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, he doesn't.
He's
just
got RJ on him now, too.
Yeah, which is.
Yeah, I had RJ. How were those donuts, RJ?
They were good, but you always trying to give me something, Leon, calling me fat all the time.
No, I said you're a fat kid at heart.
No, that's
not that you're fat. We're all the fat kids
but
at
heart. Every time you get a donut, hey, RJ, you want a donut? And then if I say yeah, it's, I knew
he's
you
on
wanted
you.
A donut. Look at him.
Yeah, he's on you hard. Yeah. All right, let's talk about what the Jaguars could use as a snack after the draft. The idea off the text line is, will they go out and get maybe a Bud Dupree? So let's answer that question coming up. But first, the Zay Jones departure. Look, I was a fan. Seven made a lot of plays here, but then he also unfortunately missed too many games last year.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you saw the writing on the wall. I mean, when you draft Brian Thomas Jr., you kind of knew that his time was up. And one or two things happened. You know, the Jaguars probably did him a solid, to be quite honest with you. I don't know. The Jaguars say, hey, listen, we'll cut you now, give you an opportunity to get into a mini camp, training camp to make a team. Or he came to the office and said, hey, listen, I know you're going in another direction. Won't y'all release me so I can find me another team? So one of those two things happened. But either way, I mean, he was a fan favorite. Mm-hmm. Now, when he was on, he was on.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about a big, fast, physical wide receiver that can high point the ball, toe tap you in the back of the end zone on the sideline, big physical. You know, he had his best year in 2022. You know, he had like, 82 receptions, over 700-something yards, five touchdowns. I mean, during that stretch, that five-game stretch where we won those games, he was a big part of it.
Yeah, they went down the stretch, only team in the NFL that had three guys over 70 catches. Mm-hmm. And so he was definitely a big part of it.
In 2022, when he was healthy and down the stretch, he was their best receiver.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a guy that could get deep. He was a guy that could take short throws and turn them into big gains. I mean, the Cowboys game, the Ravens game, he was the guy.
Oh, yeah, the Ravens
He was
catch.
Their one. There's no doubt about it. He was their one. It's unfortunate. I think it's good because he'll be able to catch on to another team now. But, boy, when that cat was healthy, he was a nice free agent pickup for them.
Well, I loved Zay. You know, his father was a middle linebacker for me back in the day with the Cowboys, and good personality.
Uh-huh. Very much.
Made some big plays, and that's what Matt and Leon are alluding to. You know, availability is so important in this league. And for him to come out this year and really struggle when you had a chance to take a guy first in a draft, you know, they have some young receivers that I still like, you know, Cooks especially. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'd like to see him get a shot. But you added DuVernay. You added, you know, who's going to be available on game day.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they felt that reliability is availability.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm going to make this 10-10 take because I don't think it was necessarily Thursday when he should have started to figure this out.
Now, Joe C's 10-10 take. Slow smoked and served up by Sonny's Barbecue, local pitmaster since 68.
Sonny's Barbecue, they get up early, they make sure they got that wood chopped, they get that fire going, and then they start to put that protein on and they cook it slow. Ribs, chicken, pork, turkey, brisket, you name it, and all those delicious sides. Check out any one of your area Sonny's all over the First Coast, especially if you're heading home for dinner tonight, you don't want to cook. Go get you some Sonny's. So I think the first warning shot to Zay, and I said it on XL Primetime at the time, was when Gabe Davis was signed. He's the same body type, the yards per catch, the go up and get it, the physical nature of what he does. And so we were all trying to figure out exactly how these things were going to come together. But when they signed Gabe, I saw Zay as expendable. You make the play for Calvin, you don't get Calvin, then you go get Brian Thomas. Right. And so those are the two chess moves, however you want to describe it. When you didn't get Calvin, you had to get BTJ. When you got Gabe Davis, you could get rid of Zay Jones. That's the 10-10 take. And I think, honestly, they were trying to make sure that they got another guy, an ascending guy, just like when they signed Zay a couple of years ago, Big Sirs. They go get Gabe Davis to be a big play money guy, not stretch the field, but big play money guy in big play situations.
Yeah, I agree. Totally agree. Now, let me ask you this question. If the Jaguars had gone in another direction and not take Brian Thomas, you think Zay would still be here?
I think they would have taken him to camp.
Yeah,
but more than likely,
he wouldn't have made the team.
Yeah, because just think about the number of guys that they signed also as undrafted wide receivers. I'm not going to say that they're going to necessarily step up and take Zay's job. Mm-hmm.
I think they would have kept him if they didn't get a quality big time receiver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think they might have kept him, but were going to take a receiver. If they didn't take the receiver in the first round, they were going to take him in the second.
There you go.
Or third.
Right.
Yeah.
So
he would have been expendable either way.
Because my answer to that is, even though I'm not going to necessarily put these two in the same pile, Troy Franklin didn't go to the fourth round.
Yeah,
and Troy Franklin is still a guy with size and speed that I would have been looking at. And I will watch Brian Thomas and Troy Franklin. I'll kind of keep them both in the back of my head. I know one's faster and all of that, but that's probably the direction they would have gone.
If you get from Gabe Davis what you got from Zay when he was healthy, you've done well.
Yeah.
You've done real well.
Yeah, and so those are like a three-year stretch of free agent signings that if you keep that cycle going, you don't overspend, spend a little bit, but you also don't necessarily have to go out and pay the $20 million guy.
If they're really,
get the $13 million
guy. If they're really going to be good, though, they have to start hitting on draft picks.
Oh, you better believe it.
When it really comes down to it, and that's one of the – when they backed up and got two picks next year, to me, that was a smart move if that's the guy they wanted and they could get him anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And they had some fallback guys if he wasn't there to get somebody else. That's why it's about going forward. It's not all about today. And I think that's where that was a good move.
It will always be said, you are supposed to build through the draft.
Yes.
You are supposed to draft and develop. There are times when you have to turn loose guys and you don't get second contracts out of them. But by gosh, man, you better keep the team as young as you possibly can financially and then go sprinkle in. I always use Leon as an example. You sprinkle in the experience, the veteran, a need position, a value position, and that's how you kind of hybrid it out to make sure. The LA Rams won a Super Bowl by going and getting a few really key important pieces and made sure they dropped them in. San Francisco got back to the Super Bowl by going and getting a Trent Williams, a Christian McCaffrey, those types of guys to make sure, along with the guys that they develop. It ain't an easy thing to do, but that's how you got to do it.
Well, we're going to find out about Strange and Bigsby this year because, you know, looking back at Jacksonville when I was here and Dallas, we didn't always hit on the fifth, sixth, and seventh rounders.
Right.
But we did pretty well on the first, second, third, and fourth rounders. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where we've fallen a little bit if those guys from last year don't come through. And then you go back to the outside linebacker that just left. Yeah, just left and went to Carolina. You can go back to him, too, and you can go back where they've missed draft picks.
Right, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Chaseon.
Yeah, yeah. Caleb goes and gets paid.
Yeah.
$4 or $5 million a year.
Saw him as a linebacker, Dave. We saw him as like a rush end, which he wasn't good at. So then when you were saying linebacker, we were like, what are you talking about, Dave?
No, no.
Oh, he was MIA was his position. Missing in action, unfortunately. But he got paid to go up there, and that's kind of been – you know, this is now LSU East or LSU Uval up there. It's kind of like Jacksonville North with Carolina kind of picking up the scraps from Jacksonville. But the idea is that, yeah, you got to get instant impact players, top half of the draft like you're talking about, and then sprinkle in a success or two, a good story to tell about developmental guys, fifth, sixth, seventh round, undrafted players, you know, all those types of guys. So I think that's where it's at. All right, let's answer the question. Bud Dupree, Leon. Look, you can look at the list of available free agents at the rush position, edge position. It's not littered with guys that are going to come in and immediately make an impact. You're going to see guys that got big contracts before. Bud Dupree would fall in that department. Unique Ngakoue, some of these other guys. Do they do that? Do they feel like they have to do that? Does that happen in training camp?
Well, maybe. I mean, it's not going to be as expensive. You know, those type of guys, Bud Dupree, Ngakoue. I mean, I don't want to say pennies on the dollars because it's still millions of dollars that are going to be asked. But if you need a quality veteran to come in and give you, what, 5 to 7 sacks a season?
Something, man.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Something other than the two guys you got out there.
Yeah, you know, I don't have a problem with that. Mm-hmm. It's not going to cost you that much.
None of that. Smoot is – and Smoot, I think, had 3 of those 5.5 sacks from the D-line, right?
He may have, yeah.
Other than Allen and Walker.
Yeah.
Well, my point is just – If Ngakoue wants $6 million, would you pay him $6 million to come in here and get you 6 or 7 sacks?
I don't think it's a bad price. Honestly, I don't.
100%, I would.
A million a sack.
I don't care. It's because he can give you more pressures too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you got to find the guy that's still got the hunger and the willingness and the ability. They all got to come together. Is a guy coming in to collect a check? Is a guy going to come back? If we mentioned Unique Ngakoue, come back with a chip on his shoulder, or hey. Let bygones be bygones. I don't see any, you know, of the guys that were making those decisions before. Mm-hmm. Let's just come in fresh slate. Let me go play some ball. That would be okay if that happened.
Yeah, I mean, Bud Dupree could have had Dallas Turner for $2 million a year, but
That would have been great. But then, you know, you have to rearrange your whole draft when you do that, and you have to figure it out. Listen, I was all about the edge. I was all about the interior part of the defensive line. Those are the two things that I definitely would have been paying.
But here's the thing. We needed edge way back last year.
Yeah, we did.
Right before the trade deadlines. We were talking, hey, are we going to do anything? All we heard from over there is we're good. We like what we have. Mm-hmm. We've been asked for trade now for what? Going on about 10 months?
And then at the end of the year, they admitted they were wrong. They should have added edge help. So now, 11 months from now, are we going to hear we should have gone interior line? We didn't.
Right. It's for sure. All right, hit the text line 641-1010. We'll keep it going. You can get into the YouTube chat 1010XL. All you got to do is head to the MyBookie Digital Studio and offer up a comment there. 18 games, is that where we're headed? You knew that was the grand plan of Roger Goodell. So let's get into that coming up. And when will we see our Super Bowl played? Well, they finally got a plan that might include a holiday. We'll get into that coming up on XL Primetime.
You're riding in the First Coast Honda Dealer Studios. XL Primetime on 1010XL. This is XL Primetime, brought to you by Florida Home AC. Now that's cool on 1010XL.
All right, got one more seg with our head coach, Dave Campo, hanging out with us. We fired up a Campo and Joe podcast earlier on Facebook Live. You can definitely go back and watch it there, or check out any one of the 1010XL social channels. We would love for you to check it out, because Coach and I lay down some of our thoughts on the draft. I'm about to cough.
All right. We want to talk
Bring
about –
Bring up this stuff. Front office sports report. 18-game schedule.
18 games, right. Yeah, that's where we were headed before Joe lost his ability to handle his cough. All right. 18-game schedule, Dave. We talked about it in the pre-show meeting. Leon contends that eventually they're going to a 20-game schedule and no preseason games, that it's all about greed, and that's where this thing's headed. Would you agree with that?
I don't know that they'll go to 20 games. I think that they will go to 18, though, and they'll cut preseason. They're going to cut anything. They're going to cut preseason. So the more they add on to the regular schedule, the less preseason they'll have. If they go to 20, then all they'll do is scrimmage amongst themselves prior to the, you know, to the actual game start. Mm-hmm. And so, to me, I think it's, you know, it's all about money. I mean, there's no question about it that they're gonna try to maximize the amount of money in the league, that's the main goal.
Always is, always has been. Roger Goodell is the guy that's now floating the idea that not only would he be into looking at the possibility of an 18-game schedule, but also would look at the possibility. He basically said this during the draft up in Detroit, and it came out then, and it's not like they're trying to put out fires or anything like that, but they're trying to figure out whether or not the players are going to start to accept this. So it's one thing for you to, back in your day, 4 preseason games, is that right?
Yeah, 4.
And you played how many total snaps from the time you were a rookie to the time you were – like on average, well, each preseason.
Well, my rookie year, I got mop up duty, graveyard shift.
So would you say no more than maybe 20 snaps per game?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, but when I was starting, the only game that we really played was the second game. Mm-hmm. We treated the second game like a real game. We probably played a whole half in the second game. Then the third game, third game, we might have gotten the series, and the fourth game, we completely off. So we always treat the second game like it was a real game. We prepare for it, play the half, and then we'd be done. I mean, that's when I was when I was a starter.
Yeah, so the essence of this is that if you eliminate another preseason game, you get down to 2, and I totally agree with Coach, it's going to be a 20-game total until they figure out a way to do inter-squad scrimmages and figure out a way to pay the player more.
You know what, here's the problem that I have with Roger Goodell announcing this. I mean, I thought the players who were supposed to be collectively bargaining with the ownership, I didn't hear them. Where was their voice?
I'm sure.
He's saying that, like, it's already going to happen.
I'm sure up at the NFL.
The players are going to vote for it either way.
I'm sure up the NFL offices, they've said, hey, we need to start our communication with our players and let them know that this is going to be.
And everybody thinking, well, you know, they're going to make more money. Yeah, they're going to make more money, but they got more opportunities to get hurt as well.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
So you always got to look at the other side of the sword.
Yeah. But I'll always say you were willing to play however much you needed to play to get that much money. And so I just feel like I know that the bodies are at risk, especially when you're playing a Sunday and then a Thursday.
Not only your body's at risk short term, it's also at risk long term.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, very much so. But
a lot of people don't want to hear that. Just give me more ball.
Right, because, most of
the fans want more ball.
Yeah, they want more ball, absolutely. Yeah. But they don't understand that the when the players got extra games, the wear and tear on the body, more ACLs, more MCLs, more shoulders, more strains, all that kind of stuff factors in.
Bro, they don't care about that.
I know
they're saying to you make
you're gladiators.
You make $10 million a year. You make $20 million a year. Who cares?
That's not my fault. I chose the right profession.
I know, but all I'm telling you is their point is the risk is worth the reward. The reward is great.
Okay. Yeah, you crawl out the bed when you're 45 and you got knee and hip problems. Yeah, okay.
But to be fair to them, from 21 to about 30, you had a hell of a time.
I had a hell of a ride. It was a hell of a ride.
That's why I wrote the book.
That's why I wrote the book.
So that's a
lineman story.
You had a decade run that very few people had.
I agree, absolutely.
But I think the moment we went to 17 games, Coach, we knew 18 games was just around the corner.
Absolutely.
Because, look, no one wants to pay a full price for an exhibition game, which is what the fan has to do. And if they whittle it down to where there's 2 preseason games and then maybe ultimately eliminating them, and then every game counts.
Here's the thing. I was a first-round pick. I was red carpet, okay? Mm-hmm. I always root for the underdogs, all right? Yeah. When you eliminate preseason games, you're essentially eliminating the opportunity for guys, guys, to get that opportunity to make a team, a football team. And that's what worries me, because you're already going in the 5th and the 6th round. And you get limited opportunities in practice unless you're impactful, unless you just go out there stunning from the beginning. So then you take away opportunities for these guys to showcase their talents. And more than likely, the roster's already been made up based upon where they drafted at. And then those other guys, the fifth, sixth, seventh rounders, don't get the opportunities
to get more
tape
yeah.
so they can go somewhere else and maybe shop themselves.
But you know what their answer's going to be? Whenever they swallow up or whenever they just partner up with the USFL. That they are, or what is it called now? UFL. Yeah, whenever they partner up with them, which they already have looked at the kickoff rules and some of the other things, that's what's going to happen. And then those guys are going to play.
You know what the farm league is?
College
football is the farm league, not the UFL.
Yeah.
No disrespect, Rock. I'm just saying. The farm league is college football.
Yeah, that's 100%. But then, like, the developmental, that guy, because remember, Coach, you had 12th rounds drafts back in the day.
Absolutely.
You had a ton of players.
I don't think they're going to go to 20. I mean, you know, I think that they're not giving their guys a chance, but I could see them going to 18.
You could easily see
and really, I'm with you, Joe. The more they start working with these developmental leagues, that will give the young guys a chance. But it's not the same as playing in a preseason game against other teams.
But I think Leon's point is very valid, though. Yeah. We can all just say, okay, they're going to 18, but – they're going to have to give something away, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a trade-off there.
Oh, well, there's going to be more money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not going to be like a little bit. It's not going to be like from 49.8% to 49.9%. It's going to have to go up to like 50.5%.
It'll still be 50, however they want to do it. It's just more money.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're going to have to give them more money out of the
not remember, more money, not more percent. More money.
So you're saying
The percent doesn't change.
Salary cap's going to increase.
Yeah, exactly. The percent doesn't change. It's still more
coming out of their pocket.
Money.
It's still coming out of their pocket.
Yeah, that's what it is. And you can take a look at what's happening with the streaming numbers and all that stuff. Goodell wants to have this game played on six different continents. It's nuts taking a game to Brazil and all the other things that are happening. But that's just where it's at. That's where they're going. But they will get more money.
Yeah.
And you know what they'll do? They'll add one more week because we're talking about it. A Super Bowl being played on President's Day weekend to make sure that you don't go from Sunday to Thursday.
Yeah,
that will be the concession. More money, and I don't have to play two games in 5 days.
I also think they're going to increase that percentage because that's a lot. You're going to 18 games. That's a lot. It may only be 0.5%, but they're going to increase it.
Mm-hmm.
It will
never go over 50 is all I'm saying. It won't. No way. No way.
They're going to get theirs.
Yeah. Those owners, they're going to keep cashing. As a matter of fact, give me a that real quick, RJ, before we head to the 3 o'clock hour and say goodbye to Coach.
That just happened. Brought to you by Florida Home AC, the official air conditioning partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I know all of Duval's got their eye on the draft, but then maybe just kind of peeking over at that either city council or whomever it might be when it comes to the stadium plans for Jacksonville and a new one. Well, we've been kind of paying attention to what's going on in Kansas City, and people may not realize this. It might be lost on you, but there's a Kansas City, Kansas, and a Kansas City, Missouri. And Kansas City with Arrowhead Stadium has been in Missouri. And so now Kansas, the state of Kansas, says, why not take advantage of this? And, Coach, you have Kansas ties, but according to the Topeka Capital Journal, in the Sports Business Daily, Kansas legislators have begun to work on a pitch to get the Chiefs to cross state lines. And this all stems from the fact that there was a public vote, which was voted down when they put it out there to try and get the taxpayer money to fund a new stadium and everything. So this could get ugly when it's all said and done.
Well, first of all, let me just say this. I had a situation. I just had my dentist in Utah. It was a doctor. And big football fan, and we were talking about the Jaguars, you know, what's going on with the stadium and this, that, and the other thing. And his point was, I said to him, well, you don't ever want to put it out to a vote to the general public because you're going to lose that. It's got to be the city council and all the people that, you know, they work it out. Well, he said, well, you know, I don't think I want to help fund a deal. He said, it might help some people, but I'm a doctor. Having that stadium there is not going to do anything for me.
Right. Most people view it
that way.
That's
it.
They really do.
Know? And I said, wait a minute. I said, don't you think it helps the city? He goes, yeah, it probably helps the city, but I'm paying more taxes.
It's always going to be that way.
Before you go, real quick, Joe, before you go, You spoke with your buddies at the Cowboys about Cooper Beebe, the guy that all of us wanted.
Yeah.
What'd they say? They picked him. What did they say
well,
about
him? Well, I talked to a media guy, not one of their coaches, but I said that the best pick you made was Cooper Beebe because he's a nasty, tough, and I said I kind of wanted him here or Dallas if they didn't come here, so I'm happy for you. But, yeah, and he said, listen, they love him here. They're going to move him to center, it looks like. And they say he is 100% football, and that's what they're looking forward to from him.
You know, yeah. Another guy that I kind of feel falls in the same category is Christian Mahogany, another guy that they were looking at big time. And he was way down the draft. And you might have gotten a Walmart version of a Cooper Beebe. But that's another guy.
Big Serge isn't happy right now, by the way.
Yeah. Look.
Cut to the white meat.
I've said it a bunch. The only way you're going to hit Brian Thomas deep is if you have time to throw the football.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the only way. And we're going to find out whether or not this team's done enough to make sure 16 has time to throw the football. Coach, we had a good time with you. Thank you for hanging out with us.
Appreciate it. Love being here. You know that.
That's for sure. Our head coach, Dave Campo. Don't forget Campo and Joe podcast. You can go on the 1010XL social channels and find that with our breakdown of the draft. Into the 3 o'clock hour we go. It's XL Primetime.
The First Coast Honda Dealer Studios on 1010XL. Who lit it up last night? Brought to you by American-Electrical.com.
Jokic and Davis. It's Murray coming and jamming it in.
Oh, he just cleaved the ball through.
Difference of 2 seconds for game clock and the shot clock.
Worst case scenario, we're going to overtime.
Jokic a screen, Murray to try to break the tie.
No time out by the Lakers, I gotta go.
James, a bump, a feed, a push shot, no! Zero's on the clock, the Nuggets advance.
I tell you what. Ah. Yeah, I love Who Lit It Up because it's American Electrical. All my dudes in the warehouse or out wiring houses or doing commercial projects or whatever it might be. But for RJ to pick the Lakers oust from the postseason as Who Lit It Up, I don't know. I guess I got to live with it. I got to deal with it. Jamal Murray is a monster, okay? A savage. He had the dagger out as much as anybody last night. Not Nikola, not the Joker, Jamal.
Yeah, who's your daddy?
Yeah.
The Nuggets.
They
own us, bro. They own us.
Yeah.
And of course, the drama king afterwards, I don't know if I'm coming back or not.
What are you talking about, the drama king?
Oh, you would you
Let me tell you
stop
something.
It.
I've never
He's just such
what
a drama
this is what I don't understand about
what the people, hell does
people that,
that
don't like
mean?
DeBron. He doesn't get any trouble. He's a humanitarian. He's a hell of a basketball player. He's a media darling, but people just hate on him for
yes.
being. I don't understand that.
And
please tell
way,
me what he's done. Tell me what he's done to you, Matt Hayes.
Yeah.
Anything.
He
just tell
me. Anything to me.
Yeah. Why do you hate him so much?
But here's the thing.
That's hate.
He has gone into the offseason with options. Any player who goes into the offseason with options is not going to tell you exactly what he's thinking or going to do, and I don't blame him at all.
Any other player, I would agree with you 100%.
But it's just so that's true LeBron hate. That's
no,
all that
it's not
is.
Hate. He
Let me tell you something.
The drama.
If
he
you
loves
watched
it
him,
to be all about LeBron.
Oh my god.
That's what he loves. Oh, right, he doesn't, right?
Yeah.
Right. Like the decision wasn't all about him.
I'm just pretty sure that any of these players, if the spotlight was always on them, it would always be about them.
Oh, stop it.
That's exactly what it would
be. Ridiculous.
And so here's the thing that gets me more
you
than
you guys just there. You guys are even, Laker fans, so yeah. you love him.
So you're
yeah,
trying to tell me
can't,
that
you can't take a step back you, and look at
don't
it.
Don't speak for
what
me,
it is.
Matt.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
You can't
yeah.
tell me that you're telling me that Michael Jordan was an egomaniac.
Oh my God.
Are you serious? You trying to tell me Michael Jordan was not an egomaniac.
Did Michael Jordan
here it
did
is.
Michael Jordan ever act like that?
Whiny
yeah.
and petty?
I mean, he might have had a gambling problem.
Whiny and petty?
Yeah, whiny and petty.
Yeah. When the Pistons were putting the wood on them.
Yeah. Exactly.
Whiny and petty.
Yeah.
Well,
that's because
the Pistons were putting the wood on him. That's why.
And that's what's happening to LeBron right now.
Oh, stop it.
Wait, all right, hang on. The NBA doesn't make any sense to me.
Is not even remotely close to what Jordan went through.
Are you kidding? One's putting the wood on the other. That's the exact same thing. And you're going to tell me that, oh, this NBA is not as good as that NBA?
I didn't say it's as good. That's... It's not as physical.
Oh,
it's not even close.
Dude, you know what? Here's the thing you got to do more than anything else. Gran Torino, you have got to watch the game. Okay? You have got to watch the game.
To play devil's advocate for Matt. Yeah. Now, I did hear this on national radio, and I do feel like there's a point. It could have been TV as well. LeBron James, when the Boston Celtics had his number, went to Miami to play with the Miami Heat. When the Spurs had his number, went back to Cleveland. When the Golden State Warriors had his number, came to L.A. Now he's of an older age. The Denver Nuggets have his number, but is there a team in which he can go to if he decides to leave L.A.?
Right.
Is there a team in which he can go to where he says this is the team that can stop the Denver Nuggets?
Here's the biggest disappointment, honestly, when I look at it, is that this team was constructed to be pretty good. And when you take a look at the actual series, they led or shared the lead, tied, led or tied 75% of the series. Okay?
It could have been a whole different series if they finished in the second half.
And they were basically going toe-to-toe in the first quarter. They got the lead at the half. Third quarter, we know what Denver usually does, but this was a running out of fuel at the end of the game, Leon. This was Jamal Murray, like I said, with the dagger. And look, I give LeBron credit. If anyone doesn't watch, then you can't fully appreciate what this cat has done on a consistent basis. When you got D'Angelo Russell and a bunch of other Dumas's out there that look like they don't care half the time, and then you see Reggie Jackson just float and just rein them in, there is not another shooter on the Lakers basketball team that should be able to be counted on in crucial situations. And that includes my man Reeves. I mean, honestly.
Joe, did you see the pathway to this season since the bubble championship? It doesn't look pretty.
That's the only thing I've got.
And you know the bubble championship is going to go down.
It's the only thing we've got, man. Okay? It's where dreams come true. All right? It's where now I can officially say Hacker's dreams come true and my dream came true. In the bubble, in Disney.
That whole year is going to be like just completely wiped off the face of the earth. For
the Lakers and the Dodgers won that year. You can't take it away from me. I won't let you. It ain't happening.
Okay, let me ask you this, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Does a name like Trae Young, because there are reports that the Lakers are going to go big game hunting this offseason, does Trae Young interest you?
Yes, very
does
much
Donovan
so.
Does Donovan Mitchell interest you?
Yes, and you know what you've said, RJ? You've said two guys that are dogs that can score. And I'm telling you, Jackson is not a marquee player, okay? He's not. Jamal Murray is. The combo of those two, meaning you devote all of your attention to one guy, and the Joker was just basically being a facilitator a lot last night. Bring numbers to me. I'm going to pass it out. And anyway, Jackson hits really, really timely threes. And then Jamal Murray just kept scoring, did not stop. And D'Angelo would go down, either miss an up close in the paint shot, make a bad pass, whatever it was. Anthony Davis played his fanny off. LeBron played his fanny off in this series.
Maybe he'll take his talents to Denver next year. Maybe that'll work. That'll help him out, maybe.
Yeah, look, you can be a hater. I don't care. I just look at him like, this guy.
I hate it. The fact that you would say that it's just as physical now as it was like in the 80s and 90s is just laughable. It's absolutely laughable.
Well,
that you
actually
would say that.
The part that I get more than anything else is that the game is better now. And it may not be as physical, but it's still very physical. And
I don't know that the game is better now. I don't know why would you say the game is better now? Why?
I guess I watch it and I enjoy it. I mean, these guys are unbelievable athletes. They score, they put on great shows. The dynamic 94 feet, it doesn't slow down.
Do you not remember Showtime? Speaking of
the
Lakers?
Yeah, I rooted for them
and the
forever.
The Celtics.
Yeah, those were – listen.
The Sixers.
All I'm saying is that
– the Bulls.
Yeah, I do know the history of the NBA. And it's like –
the Pistons. And
it's like us saying, is the NFL –
and the Knicks with John Starks.
Oh, yeah. I mean, might as well – I mean, do we need a bedtime story here or something? Because I'm thinking to myself – do you think the game?
I'm just trying to like remind you after that absurd comment of it's more physical, as physical now as it was back
then. It's physical. It is physical now. All right, let me ask you something. Is the game of football better now than it was in Leon's era?
Is the game of football better now?
Yeah, and I'm only going back to the 90s and the early
00s. Players are stronger and faster now,
of course. Wait a minute. So now we're going to say that's better, but this isn't.
I didn't say it was better. I said players are stronger and faster.
I'm saying, is it better? Is the game that we watch, the National Football League and college football, is it better right now than what we saw in the 90s?
From when Leon played?
Yeah. Or the 80s or the 70s.
I think there are probably more teams that have the ability to rise quicker because free agency, because players are bigger, stronger, faster now.
Is the game better?
Is the game better? The game's probably better. The product? Is that what you're saying, the product?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably better.
That's the same thing with the NBA. At least that's how I see it.
Yeah, see, I don't see it that way. I don't think the NBA product is better now than it was back then.
It's because you're not watching that. You're watching the NFL. You're watching the college
game. I'm watching the NBA. Why do you mean I'm not watching the NBA?
I don't know. I look at it. I just look at it and I marvel at what I see. As far as shot making, you know, when Steph and them came in, this was like they changed the rules to where you could have a little more offense and you could have more shot making. But there are some great shooters in the association now.
Right now?
Yes. I mean,
there's great players.
Yeah.
Anthony
yes.
Anthony Edwards has a chance to be.
He is a great player.
A dude. Mm-hmm. A elite level dude.
Yeah. And just look at what you can go to Victor. You can go to any of these guys that have come in of late. It's a good league.
Well, I'll give you this. NFL is better as far as entertaining wise, but we were tougher.
And I probably would go along with the idea that you were tougher because of some of the stuff that we do talk about with the game today.
That's also a societal thing, too.
We were tougher, you
guys
know.
Getting away with stuff.
You don't have as many – you have more higher-scoring games now.
Yeah.
You have less showmanship on the defensive side when it comes to being able to deliver the big hit.
Yeah, true.
Maybe poorer tackling now because – a variety of reasons. Mm-hmm. They don't practice as much. It's not as important.
There was some showmanship, though, back then. The 86 Bears, that defense?
No, that's what I said. There's not as much showmanship on the defensive side now because you can't deliver the big hit. Mm. At least I don't think you can.
I don't know. Well,
it was more physical back then.
Oh, yeah, it was more physical, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, they brought the whooping state.
Yeah.
And the quarterback was not protected like
exactly.
It is now.
I always argue.
But the reality is it's more physical back then because of the rules.
The rules.
The rules were the same, it'd be just as physical or more now because of the size and the speed difference.
And the rules have been the rules have changed in the NBA the same way. They want offense. They want to clear the path for offense. They did take away some ISO situations to create a little more defense, but just take a look at the numbers offensively, the scoring
and
everything.
You can play zone now in the NBA.
That's what I'm saying. They wanted to try and eliminate some of the over-the-top lack of defense that was being played. And it ain't all-star basketball. They still have a good amount of defense that's being played in the NBA. But I'll go along with the idea that the rules made for a more physical football game in the 80s and 90s and the rules made for a more physical basketball game in the 80s and 90s. There's no question that happened. But all you had to do was watch. Like, in the back of my head, I'm thinking of Matt saying how they're always complaining about fouls, and I'm just watching with that in mind.
Every single player.
And they don't. That's my answer to it.
Every one of them, like, has their hand up after they make a shot. Like, did you not see that?
Yeah. Again, this is my answer. They don't.
All players, all the stars, from Bron to Luca, all of them.
You're
not going to
convince
them.
Yeah. It's the same thing with a guy not getting a strike. We see everything now, and the replay is all there. But they run
bad, man. It's not.
And play.
Baseball players don't like it, but they'll just drop their bat, which is the ultimate insult to the umpire, and just walk away.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you guys hit the text line. Hit the MyBookie Digital Studio.
Seriously, you don't see those guys complaining after everything.
I do.
Every
I just don't see
they
it.
Think they get a foul.
I don't see it every time. I see.
Golly.
I certainly see it when they're going back down the floor and they think they should have gotten a call. And I'm guessing any of us would probably do the same thing.
The only reason I don't like it is because it takes away from the game, man. It takes away from a
if you watched last night, I did not see any being moaning. I just didn't see it. I just saw a lot of great play. That's it.
All right. Maybe he'll go join the Nuggets so he can get a chance. Yeah. How about that?
This is not the answer. This is not an anti.
Take his talents to Denver.
Yeah.
So we can get a championship.
All right. So now you're going to get that. You can get that one going. All right. Listen, I enjoyed it. Him and AD.
The best thing is Leon knows I'm right. He's just sitting there not saying a word, man.
No, you're
he knows
not.
I'm right.
You're not right.
I'm not going to agree with you on that.
All right. It's XL Primetime. Beaver Chevy, Beaver Toyota. We will get back into the NFL and the college game. And you want to talk about archaic. They're just now marching towards the idea, finally, of introducing some chatter about paying players. Yeah. Imagine that.
This is XL Primetime, brought to you by Florida Home AC. Now that's cool on 1010XL.
23 minutes after the 3 o'clock hour, XL Primetime. Thanks for hanging out with us. Joe C., Matty Hayes, Big Leon Searcy, RJ. We're cranking it until 4 this afternoon. Beaver Chevy, Beaver Toyota, they bring you today's show. They could crank up a deal for you, that's for sure. Service department along with the sales, they all will take care of you. That's for sure. We're talking NBA, back to the Jaguars draft, back to the conversation of the next in the National Football League. But let's bring up this chatter about whether or not they're going to be able to get to a point to introduce legislation, Matt Hayes, about the possibility of coming up with a game plan to actually pay players. It's like they are so stuck in, I don't even know what year I should attach to this, but when are they actually going to do something? We talk about doing something, getting the job done. How long are they going to talk about this?
It'll be announced this summer. It'll be announced soon. Like,
that's what they're saying.
Soon. Like, I would say by June, you'll have a complete plan of what they're doing. Mm-hmm. That's, I mean, how long have I been telling you guys this? Honestly, 2-3 years? It's going to happen. They don't have a choice. They can't. There's a case right now. It's called House versus the NCAA right now in the courts that's going to literally crush them.
Mm-hmm.
Like $4 billion in back payments they're going to have to make to players. So the only way they can slow that train is by saying, okay, don't crush us that hard. We'll now start to share revenue.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the SEC and the Big Ten got together and had their little, I'm not saying the word alliance, whatever they wanted to call it, their joint task force.
Yeah.
That's what this was all about. It wasn't about, you know, conference realignment or, you know, who's taking FSU and who's taking Clemson. It was about paying players. Mm-hmm. That's what this has been about since day one. So it's going to happen. It will happen very soon. Mm. My guess is it will happen by June. And you will have a detailed plan of what it's going to cost each school. If you want to invest, you know, I've always talked, there may not be schools that want to invest that kind of capital in this plan. And I also say this too. It's not going to be just about paying players. That's going to be a huge part of it.
Mm-hmm.
The entire structure is going to change because now you're going to have, if you want to go to school, you can go to school and play football. If not, you're going to major in football. And when I say major in football, and I've talked to many coaches about this, it's going to be wealth management. It's going to be psychology. These are the classes you're going to take.
Stuff you need.
What they're doing is they're going to see majoring in football is no different than a trade school. It's no different than you want to be a landscaper. You just have a skill that pays more than other jobs like that. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
But they're going to give them the ability to understand the tools, how I can help myself moving forward, like wealth management, like psychology, things like that. That's what majoring in football is going to be.
Mm, that's very interesting. But how are you able to assess what you play players without players' representation?
Oh, that'll happen.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
Oh, they're going to collect the
ball. They're going to have to.
No doubt. Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. I just want to make sure.
They'll be a union.
Good. All right. I was looking a little worried there.
You don't really think they're just going to say, oh, yeah.
I'm just saying. I was
you. Okay, you don't really think they can just say, well, we'll give you 25%. You'll be happy with that.
Okay.
Yeah. No but chance of that.
Also,
happening.
Leon.
I'm always about player empowerment.
Yeah. The one thing that is going to be crazy, though, is because you're gonna have so many sectors, however you want to describe this, revenue producing sports, men's sports, women's sports. How much do players get that are all on Scali? All this stuff. Is it just going to be money for those who generate money? Or is it going to be money for all? I'm telling you, it will get tied up in so many different webs as far as who's getting what, how much, and how is it going to be regulated.
Well, see, it's going to be money for all, but there'll be different levels of payment.
I agree. I just
not unlike scholarships. Like the baseball team doesn't get
exactly
30 scholarships. It gets, I don't know how many it is now, 14, 15.
To divide
and then you divide it up among your players. So, and some guys deserve full scholarships. Some guys deserve a quarter scholarship. Yeah. Some guys only deserve books. Some guys only deserve whatever, one semester of paying for classes.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, it's going to be similar to that. Some guys will deserve
$40,000
annually. Some people or some sports will deserve $10,000.
Okay, but once you have representation, my only guess is that it's just going to bog down. Because there's going to be some infighting that's going to take place, either between sports or whatever, between lawyers. I don't know. But that's the thing I'm worried about. Because right now, you have to accept what you accept, right? If you play on the golf team, baseball team, wrestling, whatever, there's only so much. Accept it or like it or don't, right?
Yeah.
Then once we get to this and you have an association – you got legal people involved.
Well, it means they're free agents. That means if you're a golfer,
what
Florida's giving you, you go to Georgia. Georgia gives you a better deal. You go to Georgia.
You get what I'm saying. Like, in other words, a wrestling program,
right?
Are they going to be fighting for more before they even forget about a transfer portal?
What do you mean by fighting for more? I'm not sure what you're saying.
We are not a revenue producer,
right?
We had only so many scholarships that we had to divvy up before. But now that we've seen this big mountain of cash.
Oh, fighting for more from the university, from that mountain of cash.
Yes, because they're not going to be represented in a players association.
What they'll say is they're going to say NIL can take care of any kind of issues that players have that in the non-revenue producing sports.
Okay.
Because they'll point to
– maybe.
They'll point to Caitlin Clark. They'll point to
they make
big
money.
Name players in other sports, gymnastics, women's basketball, softball, men's baseball. You'll see guys like that. Guys and gals that can make a lot of money in NIL.
Well, they're already allowed to do that.
Yeah, no, they are. That's right. What I'm saying.
So that, again, we have to remind ourselves this. They are already allowed to do that. That is separate from any income that the university has 100% to give
to
the player.
100%, but it's going to be based on revenue producing.
I hope
those aren't revenue producing sports.
Yeah, because that's
the
part.
Iowa basketball was.
Right, that's what I'm only anticipating someone stepping up and going, wait a dang minute. Just because this individual doesn't produce revenue for you doesn't mean he doesn't deserve what those others are getting. And I think we've heard that act before, okay? And I don't care what we're talking about. We've heard that act before. And so we'll just find out where it goes.
Well, I agree. And the 962 on the text line makes a great point. And he's right. It's, okay, so what will graduation get you if you go for a football degree? Mm-hmm. I don't disagree with you, okay? All I'm telling you is – there will be two tracks which way the way you want to go. Because some guys, they just want to focus on football.
Mm-hmm.
They want to focus on football. They want to get to the NFL because the NFL is their career. And I understand that only a very small percent, get to the NFL or get to the UFL or wherever, play for money. But that's the risk you take.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the risk you take.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the percentage is 0.0996.
Is that what it is now?
Yeah. That's the percentage of all the athletes collectively that make it to the NFL.
Now, why don't you give me the percentage of guys in college football right now who believe they're going to get in the NFL?
100.
It's 1% of 1%, but 100 believe. That's for sure.
Yes.
Yeah. And so that's the dream. And you go in there operating like that. Just take a look at the transfer portal. How many players went into the transfer portal that ended up there after thinking once they arrived on campus they were going to be – the star.
Yeah.
And then they end up looking around going, man, I don't even have a spot on this team.
That's kind of a small little petri dish of what could become a huge. It's any question about that.
Yeah. We call it the unintended consequences. I'm happy for the movement finally to get money in players' hands because there's a lot of money that's out there. And I also like the idea that universities going to have to start paying it instead of all these boosters having to pay the freight because to this day, universities still haven't had to pay any of that freight. Still.
Boosters still going to be paying money.
Yeah, I know.
They're still going to be giving them money.
Yeah, but.
And NIL still going to be giving them money
other ways. Yes, but you're missing what I'm saying. The whole thing is we still want to see the university come off of some of the cash that they have been making off the player. Boosters will still pay, but there's more money that will be coming out of the university's bank account. That those players
100%.
Are well deserving.
100% in money that boosters used to give universities will no longer go. So that will also come out of the university's pockets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we'll keep it rolling. We're about to wrap our show up. Got the XL Primetime finish, and then you've got the Francis Show coming up at the top of the hour. You can chime in on this, 641-1010. Hit the text line, Designed by Lifetime Enclosures. Back to the Jaguars draft before we are done. It is XL Primetime.
Cruising with XL Primetime in the First Coast Honda Dealer Studios on 1010XL. This is XL Primetime, brought to you by Florida Home AC. Now that's cool on 1010XL.
Wrapping our show up, XL Primetime rolling until 4 this afternoon. We've got a Trace de Mayo promotion I'll be telling you about over the next couple of days. Instead of Cinco de Mayo, Trace de Mayo, get you ready for the weekend with Corona. And they have got some cool things planned for us. We'll be telling you about that, and hopefully you'll be able to come out and join us. And maybe some Dave Matthews Band tickets to give away. We'll see what we come up with on Friday for sure. But make sure you make plans, Trace de Mayo. Make it a three-day weekend. Hang out with XL Primetime 2 to 4 in the afternoon as we get ready for that Cinco de Mayo weekend. We get ready for rookie mini camp, which is May 10th through 12th. Was that the three-day stretch?
Yep.
And it's funny because we're going to see the rookies out there with your Jaguars, including the undrafted free agents that were signed, the draft class, and 31-year-old Jarvis Landry, who's also invited to come in. You start taking a look at the number of undrafted free agents, and you start taking a look at maybe why they went and signed as many rookie undrafted free agents at the wide receiver position, Leon, is because letting go Zay Jones, opening it back up for more competition. They want to see a bunch of different bodies out there running, seeing what they can do.
Yeah, I mean, look, they look for a diamond in the rough. When I went through the list and I saw those five wide receivers, I said, that's a lot of wide receivers to come in undrafted. Yeah. But obviously, give those guys an opportunity. You know, they're going to be essentially, they're just going to check and see what kind of condition they are. Now, they don't do a conditioning test like that, but they're going to go through certain drills based upon their grouping and all that kind of stuff. Just gives, you know what? It's still exciting for those type of kids because these kids, most of the time, they grew up wanting to feel what it felt like to be at the NFL camp. So this will be their first opportunities to get a taste of it.
I like the competition. I think Parker Washington's going to – I think this is going to be his – you know, the year two jump we always talk about.
It's right.
The year one to year two is usually when you see the most growth. I think he's got a chance to be one of those guys that could really make a jump and be a growth-type player. So then you're looking at Ryan Thomas, Kirk, Gabe Davis, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you're saying you're throwing Landry into the mix with Duvernay, Parker Washington, Cooks.
Yeah, Duvernay's definitely seeing a special teams, but will be considered a lot like Parker, competing for that spot.
Take the top off kind of guy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, no different really than Agnew. That type of, you know, he can be in a pinch, he can be out there.
I guess the one thing I'm interested in with the new kickoff rules is why they went and got Keelan Robinson, running back, for his special teams and return skills, had nearly 900 yards in return, returning kicks for the Texas Longhorns. And they're looking at a more physical guy that might be able to do that. But there's no question any of those guys are going to be candidates to be a return guy. So he'd come out of the running back room for the returns, and then Duvernay and Parker
would come
out
of the receiver. So you're thinking there's going to be dual return guys back there is what you're thinking.
I know. I'm just saying
because
they're all
– You signed Duvernay to be your kick return. There's no doubt about that.
Well, that's
right?
What you did, for sure.
Right.
Yes, for sure.
And now probably – well, I don't know about punt returner, but maybe punt returner, right?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. These guys, those three that we've mentioned, will have a chance early. They're going to look at more than them, but those are the three main – players are going to have a chance to be a special teams star. Figuring out how to get the most out of a kick return if you choose to return it. We know the NFL is trying to tell you they're changing the game for safety reasons, which is fine, but it does eliminate some of that big play possibility that you see in kickoffs. Some people think, Hayes Carline made this point on the Fred show, that he thinks this might, depending on the way it's blocked up, it might open up more kick returns.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that because according to the rules, I mean, no longer the guys have to back up, all right? So guys are already lined up or whatever. So now you could diagram like stuff like trap and counter on kickoffs.
You actually could.
You could. I'm sitting here thinking of stuff like that. You can do counters.
Triple option, man.
Absolutely, you can.
It's going to be very interesting
how innovative the play call is going to be, because you know there's going to be somebody there that's going to be running some kind of play to get a guy open.
You can do some backward laterals, passes.
Sweep, toss, crack, counter, all that kind of stuff.
All right, let's do a little Corona call it before we are done today.
He's going to drain it.
It all comes down to this.
Oh, how'd you call that?
Game recognized game.
Now, we mentioned Corona's going to be celebrating with us with Trace DeMaio on Friday. Hope that you'll be a part of it. We'll tell you all the details as we get closer. But know this, Cinco de Mayo on Atlantic Boulevard, we will be hanging out 2 to 4 doing our show. And we hope that you'll be celebrating a little Trace DeMaio at Cinco de Mayo with us. All right, so the Jaguars have drafted at least 2 players from the same school in 10 different draft classes. This is gettable. I'm not going to make you work too hard, including 3 of the last 4 years. So we know what happened this year. Brian Thomas, Mason Smith, Jordan Jefferson. So I'm looking back. A couple of real obvies are here. All right, real obvies. But I want to see how many of these you can get, not counting this year. All right?
Trevor and Etienne.
All right, so let's hit the ding button because we definitely know that Trevor and Travis, both from Clemson in 2021. So definitely one of 10 times the Jaguars have drafted at least 2 players from the same school. So now we're down to 8.
There has to be some Gators, multiple Gators in that. C.J. Henderson, someone, was it?
I am looking. I'll just tell you no. You don't even need to keep thinking.
No Gators, huh?
No.
Wow.
No.
We know how the Jaguars feel like Hurricanes. Y'all don't draft them. So I ain't going to say no Hurricanes.
Yep, you can forget about them. All right, I'll just tell you, you just brought one up just a minute ago. We were talking about the return game.
Yeah.
We just brought one of them up from last year.
Well, they didn't draft them all. I...
2 guys came from the same school last year.
Parker Washington, Brent Strange.
Yeah. Brendan Strange, Parker Washington. So now we've got the last 3 years where they've drafted at least 2 from the same school. The one before that, 2014.
Hang on, that's got to be.
See if we can get through these.
MJD, that's MJD's year.
Nope. You want to go ahead and get that one now?
And Mercedes, right?
Yeah, Mercedes and MJD was in 2006. Okay, not 2014. 2014, go back in time. It was the boat.
Another UCF cat?
Another UCF player. The boat.
Oh, it's the receiver, right?
Nope. Blake Bortles and a 7th-round draft pick, who I was super stoked for, Storm Johnson.
Right.
He didn't do a whole hell of a lot here.
The former Kings guys, right.
2009. You're not going to get him, so I'm just going to go ahead and help you out here.
Give me a school.
Arizona.
No chance.
Eben Britton and Mike Thomas both came here in 2009. Southern Cal in 2008. Neither one of these guys made an impact. Thomas Williams and Chauncey Washington. We mentioned Mercedes and MJD, which really, aside from Trev and Travis, might be the most productive pair from the same school that we have had. 2001, Eric Westmoreland and David Leverton, the punter from Tennessee.
Wow.
And you might remember this one, Leon, because this guy was supposed to come in and just didn't do a whole heck of a lot. Jason Kraft was a decent cornerback, but then there was a guard that I believe was a 2nd-round pick from Colorado State, Anthony Cesario. You remember him?
Oh, yeah. I remember Anthony, yeah.
I remember Anthony.
He didn't do a whole lot, did he?
No, he didn't. Yeah. No, I didn't.
He was 2nd or 3rd rounder. He was supposed to be. And then the GOAT of 2 players coming from the same school. 10 times this happened in Jaguars history. This happened in the inaugural year.
The inaugural year? Couldn't have been Baselli, right? Someone else from USC?
Come on.
The inaugural year?
Yeah.
Who?
Big Bo. And I want to say it might even been his roommate or whatever back in the day, this guy turned into Freddie Taylor. Rob Johnson.
Yeah, Rob.
Yep. Rob Johnson.
Yeah.
Came here, ultimately traded to Buffalo.
Turned into Fred Taylor,
number
which is
nine
a huge
pick.
Overall. Turned into Freddie.
Yeah. He turned into Freddie.
The greatest trade in the history of this franchise.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. So there you go. 10 times it's happened with your Jacksonville Jaguars. So we'll find out. Like we said, you could argue Trevor Lawrence, Travis Etienne, along with Mercedes and MJD would be the best duo players, combo players from one school. Rob did bring Freddie T.
I actually think that Tony and Rob Johnson probably were.
Yeah.
Because Rob Johnson actually played well when he was here, too.
Yeah, but the one thing, Mercedes and Maurice Jones-Drew were starters the entire time.
I get that.
Trevor and Travis are starters the entire time. Rob started like.
But if you do the transitive property and you say that
sure.
Rob brought Freddie Taylor, then it's Bo and
sure,
Freddie Taylor.
Sure, yeah.
If you want
Rob
go,
did bring Freddie T.
Yeah, if you want to go that route, you can definitely do it. But I don't know whether we're going to see stardom come out of this trio because now they've got one extra chance to turn into a little star power with Brian Thomas, Mason Smith, and
all
Jordan
those years,
Jefferson.
No double gators. All the
no
gators.
Double gators.
They chose.
So here's what you had. You had LSU, Penn State, Clemson, UCF, Arizona, Southern Cal. You actually had, excuse me, you actually had Southern Cal twice, and the other ones didn't pan out, like we said.
Right.
Chauncey Washington and Thomas Williams. You had UCLA, Tennessee, Colorado State as the other one. So I thought that, you know, trip down memory lane, start thinking of some of those. That did you have another Miami Hurricane drafted the same year you were drafted coming out?
No. Everywhere I've gone, they've hated on us.
Yeah.
They don't want you guys.
They don't want us guys. Yeah.
It's nothing but trouble. Nothing but trouble. Well, we're going to find out which of these guys. And I'm rolling the dice right now. A guy who scored 17 times, led the country in touchdowns in Brian Thomas Jr., that he can have an immediate impact. Some people are trying to figure out whether they want to give him the whole playbook or not. I don't really need him to see the whole playbook, I don't think. I just need him to see, hey, nine route. As a matter of fact, we had someone on the text line designed by Lifetime and Enclosures earlier say, hey, they hope he's has a Randy Moss effect on this football team. And you can remember, sirs, when a Randy Moss stepped onto the field, more than one guy had to pay attention to him. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what Brian Thomas may bring to the table. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't care if he can run the route tree. He had nine skinny posts.
Right, but let's slow down back, on the back Randy Moss talk, okay? Let's
yeah. Back shoulder fades.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Get as many of those plays. Give as many high point catches
there you go.
As you can.
By the way, I'll give you a quick run to call it. In the history of the NFL draft, what teams had the most players picked? What college team?
In the history of the NFL?
In history of the NFL draft.
Probably Ohio State or Notre Dame.
Joe, you have an answer?
Michigan.
It's Notre Dame. Well done, Leon.
Thank you. Very good.
Notre Dame is one. USC's two. Ohio State is three. The Canes, I believe, are five.
Yeah,
Oklahoma
they got
is four.
Yeah.
No, the Canes are not five. Number five is Michigan.
Yeah, Michigan. But the Canes got to be up there, top.
Alabama's six.
Yeah.
We're a microwave
State
dynasty.
Seven.
It is true. You didn't come around.
We didn't come around
until
like the late '90s, late
'70s. Nine. Florida 10. You're behind Georgia and Florida, bro.
They've been around longer.
Texas, Nebraska.
Weren't they girls' schools
Miami
a bit?
Yet. Yeah, Miami 14.
Oh,
okay.
Bad.
All right. I guess I'm giving them too much credit. All right. On that note, we are done. We say thanks to Beaver Chevy, Beaver Toyota. Don't forget online, beaverchevrolet.com, beavertoyotastaugustine.com. Find them on the lot as well with great people and great selection. That's for sure. Joe C., Matty Hayes, Big Leon Searcy, RJ Saunders. We hand it off to the Frangie Show as they're coming up next.
You're riding in the First Coast Honda Dealer Studios. XL Primetime on 1010XL.